You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Code of conduct. Heavy is the head that wears the crown. I put in extra work that just can't be found. Work. I took the sword out the stone, wasn't a thing. Look me in my eyes, cause I'm a king.
I'm a king.
Look me in my eyes, cause I'm a king.
Yeah.
God made me punch in inaccurate numbers.
Yeah.
My castle won't crumble.
Nah.
What I tackle will fumble.
Yeah.
I've been a leader when they ain't see it, but now my feet
it's up.
According to me, royalty didn't end with King Tut.
Nah.
Crown on my head, clouds is at my legs.
Yeah.
Big says sky is the limit. I look down on the ledge. I push the bar like I'm opening a cell. Hands in my cookie jar, you won't come out with a single nail.
You
I need all of mine. The weight of my shoulders won't fit on a scale. What's a king to a giant?
What?
Well, Goliath fell.
Shit.
Even if we playing chess, dog, this king can't be checked. I make all my moves on the board, I invented my steps.
Uh-huh.
I'm a king, the blood of a ruler, I feel like Mansa Musa. Make your squad disappear like landing by the Bermuda. Triangle, look at it from my angle. I'm a king, the closest thing to being one of God's angels.
Yeah. I'm a king.
Heavy is the head that wears the crown.
Crown.
I put in extra work that just can't be found.
Work.
I took the sword out the stone, wasn't a thing.
Dang.
Look me in my eyes, cause I'm a king.
I'm a king.
Look me in my eyes, cause I'm a king.
Let's see if I can do this right. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and good night. Welcome, everybody, into the Code of Conduct, generally, as I'm trying to adjust my volume and misspeaking, generally hosted by Jay Spence the King, but Jay Spence the King is not going to be with us this evening. It is I, Joe Miller, the voice of the Overreaction podcast. Excited to be here with you on Code of Conduct on the Buffalo Rumblings Vidcast Network. And expecting Mookie Hawkins anytime now. Literally talked to the dude on the phone like 2 hours ago. Like, what time are we going? Like 8 o'clock. Sounds good, bro. Be there. So it might just be us. I don't know. We'll see. And we'll see how this goes. But it's so good to have everybody joining us, jumping into the comment section and kind of filling up the room. Sarah Larson's in the room. Richard Rush is in the room. So good to have you guys. I'm sure there's a bunch of other people. If you're joining us live right now, whether on YouTube, Facebook or Twitter, please make yourself known. To be honest with you, the best place to take in this episode and any Buffalo Rumblings episode is actually on YouTube, because the community there is just so much better. So much better. But it's good to have everybody with us. It's good to be here sitting in for Jay Spence the King, my bestie. We're just gonna have a conversation, and we're gonna talk some football, some Bills football. My sister Jamie's in the room. My buddy Daniel Gowries is in the room. It's good to have you too. And I don't even know necessarily where to start, other than probably just this concept and this idea. And I would love to know what the people in the comment section feel about this. I'm old, right? So I'm old man screaming at the sky. That's who I am at this point in time. I'll be 50 in 2 months. So I think I've earned the right to be old guy screaming at the sky. But I don't know where I stand on the announcement that the NFL has made today that all of a sudden players can wear the number zero. So let's backtrack. I grew up my whole entire life, as did most of you that are listening to this podcast. And you know, we had a feel for, especially if you're from Buffalo and you don't watch a whole lot of college football, you had a feel for what the numbers were, who were what, position groups and all that kind of stuff. And then all of a sudden they made a change, right? And Matthew Judon is wearing like single digits, and other linebackers and people are wearing single digits, and it just kind of throws you off. I was okay with the wide receivers wearing 10 through 20 or 10 through whatever. But when it went to the defense, it just kind of put me a little sideways. And I remember it being a thing on Twitter for a little bit, which was fun. But zero is just one of those things that I don't know that I can. Maybe double zero. Double zero might be kind of cool, but I'm just not too overly sure on this whole zero thing. So I would love for some of you to comment to me what your thoughts are. You probably don't care. Like I said, old man screaming at the sky. What's up, Daryl Fletcher? Good to have you in the show tonight. But for me, the zero thing is, I just don't know. It's going to, apparently kickers can now wear 90s numbers. And I guess that might be kind of cool. You see kickers in college wearing like 97 and 99 and stuff like that. That might be kind of neat. I just have I have an old man, irrational, doesn't make sense, struggle with the number zero in any sport. I don't know why. It just, when I see the number zero, I'm like, that's just strange. Sarah agrees with me. Sarah's like, I like 0-0 for linemen. Zero is weird. I think that's where I'm at. Daniel Gowrie says that, you know, 0-0 Giamatto of the Raiders way back when. I remember that. There's something about the double blocko, right? Double blocko probably works, but just single zero? It's like that guy you always see at the stadium that has the Circle the Wagons jersey. Like, it's the Circle the Wagons on the back, and then it's just got the O. It just doesn't. If you're in the room listening, I apologize, but I've seen you. And the O looks funny to me. The O just looks funny. Daniel says the double zero should be for defensive tackles. Big dudes, right? Big, gigantic dudes should wear double zero. Like, monstrous, as Dan, Smoker Freddy likes to say, fat guys. Give me fat guys wearing double zero. I don't need a running back wearing double, like single zero. I don't need a wide receiver wearing single zero. It'll be interesting to see how this whole thing plays out and kind of where just it goes this year and who picks it up. Just on the Bills alone, Nyheim Hines was like, what's that? Like, we can wear zero now. And then Reed Ferguson actually jumped on him and said, too late, I've already claimed it, which I don't think is going to happen. But I did get a little bit of a chuckle out of that one. So it'll be wild to see who ends up going with zero. And who wants to be zero and who thinks about being zero and who zero looks good on and who zero doesn't necessarily look good on. But right now I do want to bring into the show my guy, everybody's guy. What's up, Mookie? How you feeling?
What's going on, baby?
Yeah, just killing time, waiting for the star to show up. Where are you at on the zero thing? It's weird, right?
Yeah, I mean... Yeah, I don't really read too much into it, but you got to scratch your head, shake your head to that one.
It's just, I mean, other sports do it, right? So I guess it's fine. I think hockey does it. Basketball does it. I'm not sure if baseball does it. I don't know what all sports do it. It's just going to be double zero. And so I think you would agree with where the comment section has been that the double zero on a big dude probably works, right? Single zero is a little strange.
Yeah, because it's zero and double zero. So, you know, Otto Graham used to wear that and
right.
Stuff like that. So,
yeah, right.
I don't know. I guess that's just how it is. Since they're allowing, you know, anybody to wear a single digit number now, you know, might as well add another zero into the game, right?
Yeah, you heard all the news as well that kickers can wear in the 90s, right?
So, yeah.
Yeah. Any thoughts on that one? Kickers wearing 99, 91?
They just going super old school with it. I can tell you this. I mean, they're going to make it hard for the refs. That's the only person that's going to be really pissed off about it, the referees.
Well, they haven't.
Because they're so used to and custom of those separate numbers dignifying something. But now it's just whatever.
Right. But it's – so they're not messing with the offensive linemen yet, right? Because that's the big one, right? Who's tackle eligible? So, and they know that because a big, fat, giant dude is standing there next to the left tackle. If he's wearing the wrong number or if he's wearing the right number, then he has to declare – yeah, they haven't messed with that yet. Was there anything else that was announced about just that jersey change, number change?
As I know right now, you know what I mean? But, yeah, I mean, other than rumors. Rumors floating around at 12:30 in the morning.
Well, give us do you have rumors or you do want to dispel rumors? So you can't just jump in and say something like that and not climb on top of it.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, I guess they wanted to put all the smoke out with DeAndre Hopkins and stuff like that. But, I, you know, yeah, everybody knows that the Bills are the biggest smoke screeners of all time. So I don't think that you just all of a sudden you inquire by a guy, and all of a sudden you just don't inquire about him unless Arizona just made the price to, you know, too steep. Like,
right,
price of the brick just went up like that to the point where it's forget it, you know.
Yeah.
First it was this price, but now you're asking for another price. Maybe, you know, because other teams probably started acquiring. So that's why Bean probably didn't want to, you know, put it out there that they're inquiring, because certain, you know, you look at, okay, what do the Bills have to offer? Maybe we can sweeten that deal better than what the Bills are offering. So, you know, Brandon Bean is a bad boy. You know, the bad boys, they move in silence.
It's interesting because even when you look back at what the Bills have done in the past, right? So Stephon Diggs, a lot of smoke happened. Zach Ertz, a lot of smoke didn't happen, right? There's guys that it did happen, and then there was guys that it didn't happen. So there's almost a measure of this one could go either way. OBJ, a lot of smoke didn't happen. Now, obviously, his health at the end ended up kind of being the stickler at the end of the season last year. But it'll be interesting to see. And then the Bills did that. They put that whole thing out last year. It was Brandon Bean, right? That said last year that, you know, sometimes it's just one of our scouts that calls and inquires. Like, I don't even know that they're doing it. So there's that piece, right?
Right. I don't know if I can find out how to believe that a scout would reach out to. Was he reaching out to another scout? See, that would right. Clarify. No, a scout ain't calling a GM and saying, hey, what do you think about this trade? I think that would probably be the assistant. That would be the Joe Shane of the operation, right?
Right, you'd think.
Would be a scout, but, you know, pro scouts, they work different, but I don't think they, you know, they second the waters that way.
Yeah, so what is your take on the D-Hop situation? So, hypothetically speaking, the Bills make a move, whatever it takes. They get him here, whatever the trade looks like, whatever they have to do as far as adding void years to his contract to get his number down. So, D-Hop is a Buffalo Bill tomorrow morning, 8:00 in the morning. What are your thoughts about this team, this wide receiver room, versus the way that it is right now?
Vacations can be tricky. You already know how to book flights and hotels, but now the only thing you're missing is, you know, the actual travel experience. Because is it really a vacation if you're just sitting around like you would at home? You need a tool to get the most out of your time away. That's where Viator steps in. You can book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected. And 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Well, the wide receiver room now is solid, but it still don't take the pressure off of Stephon Diggs. You know, unless Dorsey is going to get real exotic in the offense and open up the playbook, which he didn't do last year, I find that hard to believe. So you do need another, you know, wide receiver with some star power, you know, D. Hopkins or OBJ, you know, it gives you that. Because now it's another guy that people fear. You know what I mean? Respect is one thing, but fear is another thing. You know what I mean? And of course, they're going to respect every football player, every wide receiver that the Bills have. But to fear a wide receiver is a different animal, man. You know, teams, cornerbacks, they fear Stephon Diggs. So, I mean, we can double that. But then again, you know, who else on the Bills receiving corps strikes fear? A guy like D. Hopkins strikes fear when he's one-on-one. A guy like OBJ strikes fear when he's one-on-one. So you need to go out and get those pieces. If you're trying to make a Super Bowl push, when is it time to make that Super Bowl push? Go invest in your offense. Go get Josh Allen the weapons that he needs. And, you know, now that takes the pressure off of cover two shell. You can't play cover two shell when I got a DeAndre Hopkins or OBJ out there with Gabe and Diggs. You know, so, I mean,
it's funny what
you got to go get him a running mate.
It's funny what you said just about fear, because I don't think that maybe there's some teams that might be a little bit deficient on the backside defensively, but I don't think there's many teams that fear Gabe Davis as the number two. But I think if you bring in a guy, D-Hop, right, even in Emmanuel Sanders, like if we replayed that year that E. Sanders was here, when you push Gabe Davis to number three, that's fearful. Like, that strikes fear. Like, that player in that position brings a level of fear to the defense as far as offensively speaking. I hear there's a big fight, right? And there's a big tussle about Gabe, you know, and we all love Gabe and we all see the talent that's there, but there's people that are either wholly on the side that he's not a number two. And then there's people that are wholly on the side that he can be capable of being a number two. And what's funny is every conversation that I've had with people that feel like Gabe can be a number two begin to give me the excuses and the proper setup for how it has to work or how it has to happen in order for him to like be successful as a number two. And when that happens, I'm like, well, you're just explaining to me how much he's not a number two. If you have to give me reasons and excuses to make him a number two, he's probably not a number two.
Yeah, but I think to me, Gabe's definitely number two. He was the number one in Central Florida. So you can't go from being a number one in college to all of a sudden just being not at least a number two.
Well, he can. It happens a lot in the NFL. There's guys that are number ones in college and bust out.
True, but we weren't saying that when he was catching 98-yard bombs with Josh Allen. You know what I mean? We weren't saying that when he scored 200-some yards of four touchdowns in the AFC championship game. You know what I mean? What happened to where everybody felt that Gabe Davis had a drop-off? He did, you know, drop some passes. But every receiver is going to drop some passes.
Right.
But, again, when teams are doubling Stephon Diggs and they know what type of routes your number two runs, and you don't change it, then what you want him to do?
Fair.
You know, totally fair. What do you want Gabe Davis or any other receiver at that point when you don't change up the scheme when they double digs? Yeah. You keep everything the same. Everybody routes is still the same. It's your job to be a creative to get these guys freed up. Yeah. And the Bills offense wasn't creative at all to do that. When you look at some of the times where Josh did have to run, it wasn't because that the receivers couldn't get open. It was just that you got seven men. You got seven on four.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You got seven men in coverage and they drop it. They rush in four and seven in coverage against your four.
He's got to go.
So nobody's open. He's got to run with the football.
He's got to go.
You know, so Dorsey, you wasn't creative enough to, you know, find an antidote to what teams did against you defensively in passing situations.
Yeah. You know, I still feel like the question though, I think it's a setup. I don't think it's a fair assessment to say, what about the Gabe Davis that we saw in the AFC championship game? You know, when we had Emmanuel Sanders and Cole Beasley was playing on this team and there was just bigger threats, Dawson Knox was clearly being used different. And that goes to your comment about Dorsey. High ankle sprain or not, from what I saw last year out of Gabe, I'm in the shade a little bit about whether or not he could be a true accomplished number two. I'm not saying he can't. I just obviously need to see more. I don't know that I'm willing to take that risk. So I was pounding the table last year that the Bills made a big mistake in the wide receiver room, going with basically three boundary receivers, one of them being Jake Kumerow, into the season. Like, I thought there was a big miss, and it didn't work out for him. Like, Gabe gets hurt, Kumerow gets hurt. And all of a sudden it's, you know, John Brown, like, what, find me guys, like pulling everybody off the bench they can find. I need to see more. So to me, getting a guy like DeAndre Hopkins just changes that whole entire map. That it changes that whole entire conversation for me. And I can't even begin to imagine. I'm going to say this. I can't begin to imagine what D-Hop and Diggs would look like together. And then there's the caveat of, well, is Dorsey going to use them right, to your point, right? Is he going to scheme them right? Is he going to get the scheme them open? Is he going to call the play? Because going down the backside of the schedule last year, things went sideways for this offense. Everybody knew it, like to the point that Jerry Sullivan was made right, right? Jerry Sullivan said, this doesn't look like a Super Bowl offense. And Josh was like, okay. And then sure enough, that offense.
Never like Super Bowl offense. I don't.
Didn't look like a Super Bowl offense.
It looked like a playoff offense.
What did you see? I mean, you coach, you've played. I mean, you do this way more than I do. I always love picking your brain. What did you see out of this offense in the back half of that season last year?
No balance, for one. wasn't playing the players to their strong suit, their strong set. Sporadic play calling. We didn't have any bread and butter. We didn't have balance. Didn't run the ball enough. It was just too predictable. We was one-dimensional. We made ourselves one-dimensional, and we were too predictable. And the crazy part about it, we won 14 games.
But how's yeah?
We won 14 games. And almost could have won them all. Could have won them all. That's the whole frightening part about this. Like, they really could have won them all, but it was the players making play. It wasn't execution, and that's what something Stephon Diggs talked about when he was like, you know what? We got the players. We got the team.
Mm-hmm.
It just come down to, I guess, like, execution, you know what I mean? But we all know that he wanted to probably say subliminally maybe with coaching.
Yeah.
So I'm saying it for him. You know what I mean? It was the inexperience of your offensive play caller that led to the Bills' demise. When you look at it, everybody regressed. Even Stephon Diggs regressed.
Mm-hmm.
There's been at times when he wasn't even catching the ball, but he still had over 100 catches.
Right, right, right.
You know, like, he could have broke Megatron's record if he was able to be consistent. You know, he wasn't consistent at times. Why? I don't know. Josh Allen never threw a ball or interception in the red zone in 5 years until this year and led the league at it.
Yep.
Why is that? You know what I mean? Why is he so he regressed in certain areas?
Yeah.
Gabe Davis, I was supposed to have a breakout season, even though he caught more, all his numbers went up. But I guess at times he did regress. Why? Because he's running the same routes all the damn time. You never switch the guy up. You know, so everybody regressed. Dawson Knox number declined, but we know Dawson had a different type of story. But when you look at the numbers, and everybody want to blame the line, oh, we need to go get a line. You had a 4,000-yard passer,
mm-hmm.
and you had two running backs that averaged over 5 yards a carry. I had to ask Dorsey. I was like, Dorsey, how do you struggle in short yard situations when you have two running backs that average over 5 yards a carry? Really couldn't answer that question. Yeah, I mean, yeah. How is it that, you know, Josh Allen is fairly accurate when outside of the pocket?
Mm-hmm.
How come we don't have any design rollouts? Every once when you seen Josh do a design rollout, not that many times.
Mm-hmm.
You know, why are we not underneath the center, you know, running the ball and setting it up with run action? Because your quarterback is accurate rolling out on, and he can keep it. Give him the option to do that instead of having all these design QB runs for him. You know, be a little bit more creative, you know, yeah. what I mean, with the personnel that you got.
Yeah.
And, you know, that was the eyesore for me offensively with the Bills.
And Josh Allen, to your point about play action, has also proven that he is adept and dangerous at turning his back to the defense in play action and then coming back and whipping his eyes back around and finding an open guy. We watched him do it mm-hmm. the last 2 years that Dable was here. So that's actually a really well said thing. So it came out as well that Sean McDermott, you know, talked about, you know, just that being a quarterback, a running quarterback, is undefeated when it comes to getting injured. And then Bean doubled down on it pretty much. I think it was today, just that, you know, Josh has got to stop running. And we've lived in a space for the last 5 years where the conversation was, we don't want to change Josh Allen from who Josh Allen is. We want Josh to be Josh. And now all of a sudden, head coach and GM sound like they maybe want to change Josh from who Josh is supposed to be. I just don't know that you can. I don't know that. I think one of the big things that you talked about, the regression of the offense, a big regression of the offense last year for me was completely removing Josh Allen from the red zone offense inside of 8 yards. The reason that red zone offense was always so incredibly dominant for the last three years outside of 2022 was because teams had to worry about Josh Allen inside the 10, just taking it himself. And this past season, it was almost like it was that play was ripped out of the playbook. We're not even going to consider that play, which then turns into defenses almost not playing you straight up, playing you a little more honest than when they're cheating on Josh Allen, right?
But you would figure that they would run QB power inside the red zone because teams are gotten top of 7 in coverage.
Right.
They're dropping seven in coverage. I mean, if you don't take out that play, you know, that's the play you run with Josh. You can't completely say we're just not going to have no design run plays for Josh. You can't say that.
Right.
You just can't call them all the time. Like, it was really a fixture of your offense with Josh Allen do everything. Run the ball, throw the ball. And it didn't have to be that way. Mm. Now, I don't know if they was campaigning for the MVP, you know, and all that stuff, but you look at the last game, both of his elbows were bruised up like crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so run game solve all of that. You know, run solves all problems. Running the ball solves all problems. And it sets up Josh on bootlegs where he can either run it or throw it. He'll have that option. He'll have a true RPO, old school style in the bootleg play action.
Yeah. Let's talk about the run game in a second. Did you hear Matthew Judon's comments on Good Morning Football? Matthew Judon's been on Good Morning Football the last couple of days. Mm-hmm. I think it was yesterday. Did you hear him talking about Josh Allen and that quarterback power?
Yep.
Yeah, when he was talking about, like, he's like, don't change it. It works. Why would you change it? Like, we can't stop it. You might as well keep running it.
You got to keep running that. Like, you know, we got a lot of things to figure out. And year two is going to say a lot. Yeah. So, you know, that's why I'm hoping that, you know, Dorsey can, you would figure that, I'm thinking like, okay, since you've been underneath Dorsey, I mean, Dable for the past, what, 2-3 years, mm-hmm. you would run just about the same shit that Dable would run.
Well, he kind of started the season out doing that, and then it totally turned different. Into something else, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, that Rams game off, the first three games of the season, even the Dolphins lost, the offense looked completely different than it did the last eight games of the season.
And you said the key word, three games.
Yeah.
After week three, teams got book on you. Mm-hmm. If you don't change, then, you know, they got you figured out. It was just that the players were just making plays. As you see, as the season went on, the Bills didn't get any better. They always stayed the same from that Rams game. Mm-hmm. They stayed the same, all the way the same. They never got better with nothing. You know what I mean? They always stayed the same. Yeah. And it caught up to him in the playoffs because now Cincinnati got, not only did y'all play against us for at least 10 minutes, but we got y'all scouted from week one to week 17, you know, with running the same stuff. So we know y'all not going to change it for a little old us.
Yep.
They're not going to change it. They're running five. Why they in the empty in the snow? Empty in the snow, man.
I'm gonna bring your words back to you because this is the amazing part about this conversation. And we won 14 games.
And we won 14 games. So
we trot that defense out there basically for the most part every game and just like
what's that telling you?
Just go play football.
To me, what they say back home with that is it wasn't the coaching, it was the talent.
It was the talent for sure. What are your thoughts on I know we were going to talk about running backs. What are your thoughts? It's just, this is an easy parlay. McDermott.
Offensively, I'm lead defense out of this. To me, it was the talent, not the play call.
What are your thoughts on McDermott calling the plays on defense? I don't think it's a big deal. I think it's okay. There's a lot of head coaches that call plays.
It ain't no big deal. He's been calling the defense. You know, Leslie was a figurehead. So my thing is this. Now when, you know, everybody is complaining about get rid of Frazier and all that, can't point the finger at Frazier now.
Nope.
You know, it wasn't Frazier in 13 seconds. Frazier wasn't the one that called timeout and came up with that decision to play off and let them tie the game up. You know, that wasn't Leslie Frazier calling timeout against Miami in the playoffs this year. Not once, but twice.
Twice, yep.
That was McDermott doing that. So,
But you got to wonder, I mean, there's a conversation about aggressiveness. And Leslie was not aggressive. He's never been traditionally aggressive. Whereas I've heard, I'm not a big Eagles fan. I'm not a big Carolina Panthers fan. I've heard that McDermott was more of an aggressive play caller when he was a DC. Can you confirm that? Deny that?
I mean, maybe, but you got to look at the pieces that he had in Carolina. He had Luke Kuechly for one.
Right.
He had Star of Toilet Paper, where Star of Toilet lay before it became Star of Toilet Paper in his prime. I mean, he had Thomas Davis and Shaq Thompson. Those was his Tremaine Edmonds,
right?
Milano and Taron Johnson. Shaq Thompson was Clint, was the nickel, really. Mm-hmm. He was the hybrid,
right?
So, I mean, it's a different team, you know, a way different team.
Yeah.
So we're gonna see. We definitely gonna see this year because you can't say it was Leslie Frazier, you know, having these guys play off and non-aggressive, you know. So we definitely going to see, are they going to blitz this year? You know, are they going to have still that same soft box 75% of the time? Everybody knows the Bills had a soft box 75% of the time. If you don't change that up, you don't blitz, you lose Von Miller. So what do you do to compensate that? You don't blitz at all. You still stay the same without Von Miller. So this is the same defensive line you had out there that made you go get Von Miller in the first place.
Right.
you don't compensate that by sending an extra guy. What are we doing?
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I don't know what that answer is when you ask me what we're doing. I honestly don't know, but I'd love to see some changes. I'd like to see less rotation in the defensive line. I've said for 3 years straight that this is a luxury that the Bills can't afford to keep doing, and they somehow keep affording to do, putting more money in the defensive line and rotating guys at 52 to 60% or whatever the number is, 48 to 55. I don't know. A ridiculous amount of rotation. I'd like to see guys just play. And it seems like in a cap year like this, this is the year where they're going to have to pull that back. And as soon as I say that, they're going to go out this week and pick up, you know, Jordan Phillips again, pick up Shaq Lawson again, and be rolling seven guys, nine guys across that defensive line. I don't know, man. They need to do something. They need to figure something out that is not just, it seemed like it just seemed like it got to the point where there was some film study. We're going to see what tendencies teams have, but we're just going to play our defense. Our defense is good. Our scheme is good. And we're not going to try to take anything away from teams, right? When you look at, and I hammered this during the season too, when you look at what the 49ers did to the Miami Dolphins, and then the Dolphins go to the Chargers in primetime, and the Dolphins got completely dismantled and obliterated on offense by the Chargers, basically capitalizing on what the 49ers did to them. And then they roll into Buffalo, and what does Buffalo do? Nickel 4-2. And they put, what, 30 points on us? And they won, and it's like, yeah, but we won. Yeah, but you probably could have won 35-4. Or not 4, but 7. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's the part that gets me, is just that whole hubris, right? That whole arrogance behind that defense. And it's going to have to change, more than likely, depending on who ends up being the middle linebacker. With Edmonds gone, it's going to have to change, you would think.
Oh, you're definitely going to have to change. I mean, are we going to have two linebackers light in the ass plan and inside?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, we got to have somebody with, you know, either a seasoned vet, or you got to go get you, you know, a linebacker with some size, 6'3", 240 at least. You got to bring a guy in like that, because Matt Milano, it's like he's what, 225 at best, you know, 6'2", 6'1", you know, 225. He can't be, you know. Jermaine Edmonds had a hard time shedding blocks with big guys getting up on him. So imagine that, getting up on Tyrell Dobson or Terrell Bernard.
Yeah, yep.
That's not good.
That's funny. AK Cash literally just jumped in with a comment for what I was about to say. Dude, I'm going to say it. I would rather roll with the guys we have than waste a first on Jack Campbell. I was literally just going to say, tell us, I know you're a draft, Nick. Tell us about Jack Campbell.
I like Jack Campbell, but I don't think Jack Campbell is coming off the board in the first round. Jack Campbell is anywhere between mid-second to mid-third.
They've got him slotted late one, don't they? Late first?
And it depends on who really loves him like that. I don't think that he's I don't really see too many linebackers, you know, that's in this year's draft that should be going in the first round. I mean, unless he's an edge rusher type guy, but interior, I don't really see a linebacker that's worthy of a first round status. So maybe late.
If they trade out of first, right, and they drop back to, I don't even know, pick 48 or 50, and they take Jack Campbell there. I'm just more looking for an assessment from you. Can Jack Campbell come in and plug this defense he's not going to be Tremaine Edmonds necessarily, but is he going to be a player that can play inside this defense and hold that position?
Yeah, Jack Campbell's a guy that definitely can come in and play. He's 6'5", 245. He likes to play downhill. You know, he's a tough guy. You know McDermott likes them Iowa guys anyway, you know. So he definitely can come in, but I think it'd be a reach if we take him at pick 27.
Yeah.
If you feel that he's your guy, then maybe you want to trade up in a second to go get him. But, you know, I got other plans for Bills at pick 27.
What is your thought? Are you allowed to give it up?
Yeah. I did my 1.0 mock is out right now.
Okay.
You go check that out. I got Darnell Washington. I think the Bills need to go, you know, go grab tight end, you know, with that move. Last year around this time, you know, they picked up O.J. Howard. So if you were bringing in a guy like O.J. Howard, knowing that you just re-signed Dawson Knox to big-time money, obviously you're trying to run 12 personnel, you know, but it just didn't work for some reason with O.J. Howard. But when you saw preseason and training camp, it looked pretty damn good to me, you know what I mean? I mean, O.J. Howard still really had to come back from injury, you know, I think he had ruptured his Achilles. But I thought he played well in training camp and in preseason enough to make the roster, but he didn't make the roster. And that's why you the plays look totally different. When you go and look at preseason and training camp, the plays are totally different.
Yeah. You know?
So I'm guessing that maybe they missed that blocking guy, that blocking number two tight end to fit Dorsey's scheme. Go get him in Darnell Washington at 27.
Yeah.
He's everything that you need to get the job done. He's going to help your run game. He's definitely going to help your passing game, because now instead of 68 reporting eligible, you got a legitimate tight end out there that can release out to the flats. You got him. He can spread out. He's a mismatch problem for you inside the red, definitely, whether you run or pass.
Yeah.
So I'll say Darnell Washington would be my pick. Not the sexiest, but he can be an impact in both phases of the run and pass. It's something that the Bills desperately need.
27 overall, huh? Tight end. That's not a George Kittle, not a Rob Gronkowski, not a guy like that.
He gives me Gronkowski traits. He's 6'7", 270, runs a 4.6. Right. At some point, he can develop into a Gronk. All right, sir. He can develop for you. He can easily be a Gronk, you know, with those type of abilities.
Gotcha.
But right now, it's a guy that loves the block. He's comparing himself to Mercedes Lewis. You know, so he can be anywhere between, I guess, a Mercedes Lewis and a Gronkowski. Once you start developing, you know, running routes and, you know, how to release and stuff like that on a pro level, then yeah, I think that, you know, he's a freak. You saw what he did at the combine, one hand snag and shit. You know, like, go get that guy.
Go get that guy. Get a playmaker. Get an offensive playmaker, a weapon for Josh Allen that can block. Blocking has been an incredibly big problem. John Fina talked about it. Well, he's talked about it every week for the last couple of years. We've done the show, the Off Tackle with John Fina show, that it's not, as much as we love to blame Spencer Brown, as much as we love to blame, you know, Deion Dawkins and some of the guards and stuff, that, you know, he was big on the fact that, you know, the wide receivers on this team have struggled blocking at times. The running backs have struggled blocking at times. Mm-hmm. The tight ends have struggled blocking at times. So yeah, to go get a guy, I don't mind that idea at all, as long as he's an impact player. I think what the Bills can't afford to do, and Jay Spence has talked about this a lot, the Bills can't afford to miss. Like, they've had the luxury of drafting project guys and high upside guys and not reaching for guys over the last couple of years, but they've had the luxury to not necessarily need plug and play guys right now. Basically what the Chiefs did last year, 7 dudes that they drafted, rookies, played in the Super Bowl. The Bills are in that space. The Bills have to hit on draft picks, what, 4-5 of them in this draft?
Yeah, they definitely have to hit on at least 4. They got 6 draft picks right now, so they at least have to hit on 4 of them. Those guys need to come in and make an immediate impact, but we don't know who those guys are.
We'll find out.
Tight end, definitely need a linebacker if you don't go get one. Now that you see that they brought Tyler Rapp in, so it's really, you know, they may go safety, but they may go safety later on. They may want to go ahead and draft another tackle. You got Questenberry on a 1-year deal, but you probably still want to get another book in there.
Well,
if you can find a development.
Tommy Doyle's coming back too, right? So, I mean, Tommy Doyle had the PCL. Was it PCL or an ACL?
I think it was the PC.
Yeah, so he's coming back. And all the talk last year in training camp before he got hurt was that there was a thought that they were going to move him to guard. And I remember somebody having a conversation with Cromer about that. Like, can you move a guy that big to guard? And Cromer's answer was, why not?
Yeah, I like that idea. You know, a 6'7", 6'8" guard. I mean, why not? You could do that. I think the Eagles did that with Malaga.
Yeah, they did do that. Yeah, you're right. They did do that with Malaga.
So, yeah, I see that. But you don't have another backup to Deion. He's the only backup. And then you don't know how he's going to come off that injury. You got Questenberry, who's serviceable. But I think for competition reasons, they might still want to entertain, you know, picking up another lineman.
Yeah, figure something out. They got to keep Josh Allen clean. It's interesting because when he trusts the guys in front of him, he's a completely different player. And you talked about regression. And last year, there were times where we saw him in certain games, not every game, but he was looking down at the rush, like snap of the ball, looking at the rush versus looking at the coverage, which I think affected his play. But they've got to do something to keep him clean. Let's transition to running back. So Nyheim Hines, James Cook, and I'm going to go first. And then obviously Damian Harris. Damian Harris on this football team, thank God he's not a Patriot, right? That's the first thing for me. Like, guy that I cannot stand playing. I can't stand playing any Patriot running back. But Damian Harris, you know, it just – I remember Ben Jarvis Green Ellis's first game as a rookie. It was the opening day of the season. He was a rookie. And do you remember that game? He just ran all over us. Like, we just couldn't – he was running over guys. It was just ridiculous. And Damian Harris has just always kind of had that hammer feel to him. Glad to have him. 3 to 4 yard guy, great vision, good patience. Bruiser, kind of a running back, but he can obviously play. You know, I have wanted Nyheim Hines for a couple of years now. So when we got him, I was elated. A little upset that we didn't use him more, but I expect to see him more as a running back this year. But the guy that I'm excited about is James Cook. James Cook came onto this team last year, right? Drafted onto this team, inch taller than his brother, 10 pounds lighter. Who knows what he's going to come in at this year? But Dalvin is not a big guy. Like, when you look at Dalvin's frame and Dalvin's structure, Dalvin and James look similar in football clothes, in their pads. Mm-hmm. I think James can be a number one back if you spell him correctly. I loved seeing his progress through the year last year. I loved seeing him go from being a little erratic, looking for defensive players when he should be doing other things, but concentrating on the football, to literally towards the end of the season, being patient, setting up his blocks, being determined in his cuts, knowing when he wanted to cut and go. Like, the transition we saw of James Cook from week, whatever it was, 1 to 2 to the end of the season, to me, was something worth being excited for. Of those running backs, though, who are you most excited about? Who do you think's got the top spot? Who are you excited about?
Well, Cook is RB1 right now. I mean, you can't give it to Damian Harris. He just got there. Again, Nyheim Hines. He didn't get to have too many plays last year, you know what I mean? So right now, Cook is definitely RB1. And, you know, that's a good thing, because now we got explosiveness, we got power, we got speed. We got speed out of all three backs, you know, but they all do different things well, you know. Right. So more touches for James Cook, which means it should be more touchdowns. And, you know, more breakaway. He has that breakaway speed. Devin Singletary didn't have breakaway speed. Mm. You know, he was shifty, but he wasn't really going to outrun too many people. James Cook is a game breaker. He gets the ball. If he presses that hole and it's one-on-one second level and that guy miss, then it's off to the races. I mean, we've seen that so many times. You know, when you average damn near 6 yards a carry, and you got, like, what do you have, what, 89 carries for 500 and change? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, those stats on is like, why the hell I didn't run this dude more? You know, so he'll get that opportunity this year. And if he can duplicate, you know, that yards per carry, then, you know, the Bills are definitely going to be explosive with the run.
So why the hell didn't I run this dude more? Why didn't I get Dawson Knox involved more? Why did I stop getting Stephon Diggs involved at the end of the season? Like, there's a lot of why didn't I's kind of happen. Mm-hmm. On this off. Why didn't I run play action more, right?
So. And guess what? You won 14 games.
We won 14 games. Oh, it's so weird. They're still a good football team. So I'd love to see him sign Calais Campbell. I'd love to see him get D-Hop and Calais Campbell in here. I think that, to me, vaults us right back up to, like, Super Bowl conversations.
Oh, that definitely. That's Super Bowl or bust. When you get right. – we draft D-Hop, right? I mean, if we trade for D-Hop, mm-hmm. and then we – draft Darnell Washington.
Right.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Right. I mean, then it's still a possibility that OBJ might want to come. Remember, it's perfect timing, right? Perfect timing.
We need a slot guy.
Perfect timing. You know, perfect time. Go get both of them. I know people are like, they don't think they're going to get both. They don't need both. And there's too many divas or whatever you want to wear. Too many alphas and all that. I think it's possible. It is possible. But again, if you do that, if you trade for D-Hop and say, okay, we trading for Ed Oliver. I still feel there's a possibility that if you bring D-Hop in, what are you going to do with Gabe Davis? You're going to have to move Gabe Davis.
I don't think you move him. I think he sticks for one more year and his contract's up and he's gone.
His contract is up this year. This is
This one more. Yeah, he's got one more year with him. Right.
So we're going to let Gabe walk too?
At the end of the season, I think right now you let Gabe walk regardless.
Why walk when you could, you know, if it's, I'm talking business. I love Gabe. That's my guy.
Yeah.
But if we're talking business, I can't let him walk.
If we're talking business, if you get D-Hop especially, if you don't get D-Hop, I'm still in the draft a wide receiver. If Gabe Davis, who had a 48% drop rate this past season, if Gabe Davis comes in and catches 80 passes, 75 passes, and gets near 1,000 yards or over 1,000 yards, he's getting Christian Kirk money. I'm not paying Gabe Davis Christian Kirk money.
Exactly. So you got to move him now. or you're going to allow another guy to walk that you draft. Don't get nothing for him. Right. It's the business side now. You know, the business. You got to put the personal feelings aside. And we got to go with the business. Are we thinking like it's a business now? Learning from Tremaine Edmonds. I asked Brandon Bean, did this experience, how do you approach Gabe and, you know, Ed Oliver situation now that we just let Edmonds just walk out of there, walk out our lives. Tremaine just walked right out of their lives, man. First round pick.
Yes, 17th overall, right?
16.
16 overall, yep.
Why did we do that? Like, that didn't make any sense. So we just let him walk, and we're about to do the same thing with Ed Oliver because you know you're not going to pay Ed Oliver $15 million next year. That's a
great place to start. Are you paying Ed Oliver 10.7 this year? I'm not paying Ed Oliver 10.7 this year.
That's why you probably package him up for DeAndre because the money will probably match at some point at 10.7. And, you know, they're restructuring DeAndre's deal. You know, they're going to eat some of that cash and they're going to make some happen. You know, and that's the thing about it. The Bills don't have, you know, that flexibility financially where they could make it match that way. They can make it match if they move a guy like Ed Oliver, you know. And then, hey, you probably could trade Gabe for some draft picks, and then you have, you know, go bring OBJ in. That's all. This is the possibility that happening. You know, you got to move Gabe Davis in order for OBJ, D Hopkins, Dig type of deal. You got to move him. I mean, pay him. Maybe not. You still can get off four, but I don't think, you know, that's, I don't think that's going to, I don't think that will happen, but I think if that was to happen like that, then you part ways with Gabe and you part ways with Ed, because you know you're not going to have the money to re-sign them. And, you know, that's the situation the Bills put themselves in. You know, I mean, Gabe's going to want anywhere between 12 to 14 million next year, regardless. If he has 45 catches next year, 50 catches, 800 yards, 8 touchdowns again, he's still going to, you know, like you said, Christian Kirk got 18 million.
That's right.
So if Gabe Davis had 50 catches, 850 yards, and 8 touchdowns next year, then he's going to, his asset value is going to be 12 to 14 million. And the Bills is not going to have that money again because they're going to be over the salary cap again next year. And then they're not going to have money to pay Gabe. And we're going to have to wait to the shittiest team in the NFL who got all the money sign Gabe Davis. And Gabe Davis is going to go and get his back. Can't tell somebody not to go get Dave back. He's going to go get his back.
What they need to do is they need to get a guy like DeAndre Hopkins in here, allow Gabe to walk, and call Mike Tomlin, because that dude's got a thing for drafting wide receivers, and ask him who's good and draft a wide receiver later, right? Somebody that can play. Thoughts on Khalil Shakir? Khalil Shakir right now in Bills Mafia Twitter is Robert Foster. Remember Robert Foster? Like, everybody thought that he was going to, oh, Robert Foster's the number one. Like, he's the guy, he's this, he's that, he's all, I mean, it was the Robert Foster hype was greater than the Duke Williams hype for a while. What are your thoughts on Khalil Shakir? Because right now he kind of has that feeling amongst the mafia that he's the answer.
I wouldn't say Khalil Shakir is Robert Foster. The only thing that he doesn't have over Robert Foster is the speed.
No, I meant the vibe of the fans, the people, like the way that they believed in Robert Foster. They believe in Khalil Shakir the same way. Does that make sense? Not that they're similar at all. They're not similar players. That's not where I was going with that. Sorry about that.
I guess you can. I mean, he had a solid rookie season. If you ask me, he just wasn't, again, he wasn't really used enough. And you got to look at that too. Like, damn, Khalil Shakir, he was out there, made some good, he made some clutch catches for, you know, the Bills. Wasn't used enough.
No.
So again, not understanding your personnel and playing them to their strong suits. Why do you got them out there? Like, again, the inexperience of the play caller. That was the regression of the Bills' offense. Other than that, you got playmakers all over the place, including your quarterback.
Yeah. Last thing that we're gonna get out of here in a minute. Not Bills related. So there's people. Camps, there's a camp out there talking about over the last couple of days how Josh Allen and Pat Mahomes, that their deals ruined the market.
Yeah, I saw that.
Lamar Jackson.
Richard Sherman. No. I mean, the Baltimore Ravens, you know, that ain't Josh Allen's fault that, you know, the team believed in him to pay him. It ain't Patrick Mahomes' fault that the team believed in him enough to pay him.
Right.
You know, so you can't say you blaming Josh. Like, I mean, Deshaun Watson got more money than Josh Allen. You gonna blame Deshaun Watson too? Deshaun Watson ain't playing 2 years and got $200 million guaranteed.
Right, 248. Was it 248 or 238? To me, that's the contract that ruined it for Lamar, because it changed his mindset for what he felt he had earned. To me, the biggest mistake made, and you're in this business to a point, it was Lamar Jackson not having representation and basically allowing the Ravens to franchise tag him over and over and over again versus being like 2 years ago, this is enough. We're not doing this again, right? Mm-hmm. You either sign me or I'm out of here. Like, get rid of me. I just, it's hard for me. Like, the kid is so good. He's such a good football player. Clearly, he's had some injury issues recently in the last couple of years, but he's going to go somewhere and get money. Can they move him? So we're going to give two first rounds, three
game first round. But he got a non-exclusive, so that's like, okay, basically go find somebody, a trade partner, go find us two first round picks,
right
when you get out here,
right?
You know, I mean, the Ravens knew what they were doing. They asked around what was Lamar's market. You know, they sit down at the combine, they talk to other general managers about how they feel about the situation, and would you you know, make a trade for him or whatever. You know, they knew this. That's why they put the non-exclusive tag on him.
Right,
if they would have put the exclusive tag on him, then they knew that they, he had a buyer out there.
Right.
You know what I mean? Right. So that's why they went non-exclusive to say, okay, Lamar, we're going to let you basically talk to every team in the NFL if you want to see if you're going to get 200 something what you're asking for. And it's just, it's to a point right now where everybody pretty much has their franchise quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
So you're just luck of the draw this year that, you know, quarterbacks really isn't in demand this year with a team who has that type of money to, you know, go get you.
Yeah.
And, you know, so it's like, okay, where is he going to go? San Fran, maybe?
Yeah.
The Colts, no, I don't think San Fran.
They've already said Brock Purdy's the guy out there. And they got Trey Lance behind him. Like, I thought Brock Purdy was a gamer. Like, that dude throwing into tight windows. Like, that dude can play football. I was impressed.
True. I get that. But you trade Trey Lance because that's a first round. That's what, number two overall pick. So he might, you know, match up with one of those first round picks. So you give up Trey Lance, you give up a first for next year.
Right.
Maybe
right.
maybe a second round pick, you know what I mean, for Lamar Jackson.
I can't imagine him not being a Baltimore. No. Crazy. So I lied. We do have one more topic that I want to bring up, and it was actually your topic, which is the NFL draft. First overall. So I'm going to let you go first, and then I'm going to kind of give you, and we talked a little bit about this today, but yeah, as far as the NFL draft goes, first overall pick, what are you feeling? What are you thinking? The Panthers are going to stay there? They're going to move out? People are speculating that they might move out.
Possibly they can move out, but you don't move up to trade out. Not number one overall, unless somebody just going to make you an offer you can't refuse.
Right, right.
You know, when you move up, that means you got your eye on your guy, and you know that's why you moving up, because you know who your guy is, and I got the first pick. I'm just going to go grab my guy because he's my guy.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, everybody saw what Anthony Richardson did at the combine. He really showed out.
Yes, he did.
CJ Stroud performed well. Bryce Young, he just did the mental portion of it. He didn't do anything physical. He waited for his pro day to do that. Did well. Levis, I think he did well, but I think he comes in at four.
Really?
I think he's four on that list. But number one overall, I'm gonna say Bryce Young.
Really?
I think Bryce Young is gonna still be the first round pick. Cause sometimes when again a team trade up, move up, that means that somebody just fell in love with this guy. And I think that it's somebody either is the somebody on our offensive side, is Frank Wright or Josh McCown or Jim Caldwell, you know, just fell in love with that guy. Somebody fell in love with that guy. And, you know, I think it's going to be Bryce Young. I know everybody talk about his size and his weight.
I was just going to say, haven't we gone down this road, whether it's mm-hmm. Baker Mayfield, Kyler Murray, you know, jury's still out on Kyler, Johnny Manziel, like short gamer dude that has all the intangibles, but he just doesn't have the size. I just feel like we've gone down this road a lot, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah. I was a bit toss up between him and CJ. But when you look at Ohio State quarterbacks, right?
Talk about it.
How many Ohio State quarterbacks even made it to a Pro Bowl that you know?
Well, how many work out in the NFL? Going back to Troy Smith, when I moved right. to Columbus, Ohio, it was when right. Troy Smith was the quarterback. And like I would get in arguments with people, and I'm sitting there going, Troy Smith is not an NFL quarterback. And they would like, it would infuriate Buckeye fans. And sure enough, he goes to the pros. And CJ Stroud is a different type of thrower, obviously, than a lot of those other guys mm-hmm. at Ohio State. He's very smooth, very adept. I think I literally think when I go through my brain and I just kind of look at boards, and I can't get away from Will Levis, and I can't get away from Frank Reich being there on his shoulder and giving him the honey, I love you eyes at his pro day. Like Frank Reich was right there with him the whole time. I just feel like Reich always will have a connection back to Buffalo. I think Reich being a quarterback feels like he can probably talk to that guy, right? And I think and we talked about this on the phone today. I just feel like people are searching for the next Josh Allen. They feel like It's the not the Josh Allen leap, but kind of like the Josh Allen leap. Like, let's go find us a really big guy with a really huge arm that's really athletic, that can do things that nobody else can do, and let's turn him into Josh Allen. I just, and you had the comment of the day when I said that to you. Do you remember what you said?
Josh Allen. Yeah, come on, man. Like, we don't need no. He's not Josh Allen. It's never. It would never be another Josh Allen.
Not
Josh. You know what I mean, people didn't. Now, you know. Now he's being compared to as one of the top quarterbacks in the league. When, you know, a lot of people, like you said, didn't think that he should have went seventh overall.
Right
now, you know, he's the comparison. He's the prototype.
Right.
Will Levis is not a Josh Allen. He doesn't. First of all, he don't have the heart of a Josh Allen. He don't have the work ethic of a Josh Allen. I don't see him really working on his game the way Josh Allen worked on his game to fix his accuracy. Mm. I mean, you look at the measurables. Yeah, the measurables are there. But will he bust his ass the way Josh Allen bust his ass? You know, I don't think he don't have enough. I don't see that dog in Will than I see in Josh.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, the measurables are there again, but I just don't see him. I mean, when I saw him throw, I mean, and at the combine, his first pass, like, it was like a shot put. I'm like, oh, what was that? Like, you know, then he got going, but it was like nothing really like wowed me about him. You know, he was nothing really wowed me. I know he got it together at his pro day, but when it's time to compete, that you out there competing. He was four on my list. So that's why I say he didn't outperform Anthony Richardson. He didn't outperform CJ Stroud.
I agree. And,
you know, we all know Bryce came in already as the number one overall pick. So
yeah.
I think that Bryce holds down that number one spot. Could be CJ Stroud, but I'm still going to go with Bryce.
I agree with you on all your points on Will Levis, by the way. I just, how often are we like, oh, on the first pick, right? It's like, that's where they went. Okay, that's where they went. I just feel like teams fall in love with a guy, and that's just where they end up going. But we'll see. We'll
this
see.
Second now, this is the first time that Frank Wright and those guys will be drafting a quarterback. He always went the veteran route, and his ass got fired. You see how that worked out for him? So he got to go draft him a quarterback that he can develop. So you better choose right. This is the first time I'm ever choosing a quarterback.
Yep.
You know, so he just got to choose right. You can't choose a Baker Mayfield. You can't choose that. You know, so
well,
I just think that Young can make all the throws.
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been tuned into the Code of Conduct on the Buffalo Rumblings Vidcast Network. Special guest for this episode, well, me and you, Mookie Hawkins. Mookie, tell everybody where they can find you. Everybody loves your book. Tell everybody. I know they know, but we're going to have you tell everybody anyway.
Hey, man, y'all can catch me at Power 96.5 FM Radio right there in Buffalo. You can always can check me out on the Fan Base Network. You can always check me out right here on Twitter at Wuffo Sports, W-U-F-O Sports. Facebook, Instagram.
Awesome. And my name is Joe Miller, and you can find me on Twitter at Joe Miller Wired. And it was I miss Jay Spence. I wish he was here with us. This would have been even more fun than the fun that we had. But Mookie, appreciate you hanging out with me and agreeing to sidecar with me. This was fun. So any final thoughts?
Go Bills.
Go Bills. Code of conduct.
More to-dos, less time, and an infinite number of tools to keep track of. Sometimes doing business has never felt harder, but you don't need a miracle to hit your goals. You can just use HubSpot, because their all-in-one customer platform can make growing your business infinitely easier. Imagine this: high-quality leads, fast closing deals, wildly happy customers, and more benchmark-breaking quarters. It's not a miracle, it's HubSpot. Visit HubSpot.com to get started today.
Support for this show comes from Fundrise. Buy low, sell high. It's easy to say, hard to do. For example, high interest rates are crushing the real estate market right now. Demand is dropping and prices are falling, even for many of the best assets. It's no wonder the Fundrise Flagship Fund plans to go on a buying spree, expanding its billion-dollar real estate portfolio over the next few months. You can add the Fundrise Flagship Fund to your portfolio in just minutes, and with as little as $10 by visiting fundrise.com/fox. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of the Fundrise Flagship Fund before investing. This and other information can be found in the fund's prospectus at fundrise.com/flagship. This is a paid advertisement.